Today's daf is Yuma Daf Tes Zayin, and we are 12 lines from the bottom of Daf Tes Vav Amid Beis Tanat and Hasam. Today's daf is being learned as a Schus Refua Shalema for Shlomo Ben Zara Aliza, Avadya Ben Miriam Leah, Moshe Abba Ben Devora, Shmuel Ben Tehila, Devora Bas Mecha, Mordechai Tzvi Ben Fradel, Gittol Necha Basara Chava, Chaya Devora Basara Sprinza, Yaakov ben Rachel Chava and Rafal Yitzchak Isaac ben Racham. Today's daf is being learned as a schos v'yecheskel Shraga ben Miral, and today's daf is being learned l'iloi nishmas Avram ben Yibadol l'chayim toivim Reb Moshe Chayim. So today's daf is going to be a digression. It's a digression from the primary sugya of the first part of Masechtas Yuma, which is Shivas Yomim Koidim Yoyim HaKippurim Mafrishin Koyin Gadol Mibesoy V'lishkas Parhedrin. It's even a digression from our digression, from yesterday's daf, which talked about the mitzvah Vatovas Aneiros, K'toyres, the Tomit Shalbein Arbayim, which according to one Tana was a Chatzi Oila and a Chatzi Chatos. The topic of today's daf is going to be the Lishkas HaTaloim. The Lishkas HaTaloim was one of the Lishkas, one of the chambers that was in the Beis HaMikdash. And as we're going to see, the Gemara is going to begin and ask a stira as to the exact location of the Lishkas HaTaloim. And it's that kasha. One Mishnah says the Lishkas HaTaloim was here. The other Mishnah says the Lishkas HaTaloim was there. That's going to be the topic of today's daf. Now, the obvious question is, why in the world, in Masechtas Yuma, daf Tes Vav Amid Beis, daf Tes Zayin Amid Aleph, daf Tes Zayin Amid Beis, daf Yud Zayin Amid Aleph, even a little bit of daf Yud Zayin Amid Beis, are we talking about the Lishkas HaTaloim? So Rashi asks the kasha, and Rashi explains the paper trail of the Gemara, and he says something fascinating, which I think is really insightful for understanding the digressions of Chazal. Rashi says that the previous Gemara had asked the kasha between a Mishnah Masechtas Yuma and a Mishnah Masechtas Talmud, and the Gemara's answer was on Daf Yud Dalet Amid Beis, it's nit kein stira, because the Tana of the Mishnayos and Masechtas Yuma wasn't the same as the Tana of the Mishnayos and Masechtas Talmud. In fact, the Tana of Seder Yuma is Rab Shimon Ish Hamit. Rav Shimon Ish HaMitzvah is the Tana of Seder Yuma. He's not the Tana of Masechtas Talmud. As a result, you can't ask a kasha from a Mishnah in Yuma to a Mishnah in Talmud. It's that same signon. It's the same Tzuras HaDeshmaitza that's going to permeate today's daf. The Gemara is going to ask a kasha between a Mishnah Masechtas Talmud, a Mishnah Masechtas Midos, and the Gemara is going to say you can't ask that question. You know why? Because Hamani, the Tana of the Mishnah Masechtas Midos, is not Reb Shimon Ish HaMitzvah, but it's Reb Eliezer ben Yaakov. And it's because of that commonality, the Tzad HaShava between the two sugyas, a stira between a Mishnah, one Masechta, a Mishnah, and another Masechta, and the Teretz. Oh, the Tana of that Masechta is Tana Ploini. The Tana Masechtas Yumas, Reb Shimon Ish HaMitzvah. We have the same thing, Stira Masechtas Tomit, Stira Masechtas Midos. But don't ask the Kasha, because the Tana Masechtas Midos is Reb Eliezer ben Yaakov. It's because of that commonality that Chazal put these two sugyas together. But Rashi doubles down on the question. And Rashi says that at the end of the day, is that enough of a reason, really, to just take this whole sugya? It's a nice gemara, like all gemaras, but to pluck it over here, shalebim kaimai. So Rashi says, I hear. But at the same time, Chazal felt they had nowhere else to put this gemara. And this was the best match for where this Gemara can be placed, and that's why they placed it over here. It's a fascinating idea, because very often the Gemara digresses, and then digresses from its digression, and the Gemara is going to bring a tsushto sometimes to a sugya where, I hear, but if you got up, spoke publicly, and you agav threw that in, people would be rolling their eyes. Why are you talking about that now? Because of that connection? Because the same Amoira? Because of this? Because of that? The Teretz says there were many Talmudic passages that Chazal felt had to be placed somewhere, and sometimes they just looked for the best match. You're not going to have a Masechta called Shoinim, miscellaneous, random, where we're going to put all these Gemaras where Chazal didn't really have a perfect place to put. So sometimes Chazal worked backwards and they placed Gemaras in areas where it fit most. It's a Mefurish Rashi right here in Masechtas Yuma. Now, to be clear, Rashi is describing the sugya. Rashi didn't say you can cut and paste and you can apply this formula to other areas in Shas, but Hachinami Mestabra, you would think that if it's true over here, it's probably true for other Gemaras. Regardless, the topic of today's daf is the Lishkas HaTaloim. Just one more brief introduction, just as far as the actual chaymer of the daf, and that is that we know that not all of the Bate Mikdashim were created equally. The Mishkan, the first Beis HaMikdash, the second Beis HaMikdash, Ba'yishlishi, She'yibana b'mehera b'yameinu, amen v'amen. Physically, they were different. Spiritually, they were different. The levels of Kedusha were different. The levels of Ashrayis, Ashchina were different. And in fact, the Rambam, in the beginning of his Hilchas Beis HaBchira, right when he introduces all the halachas that he's going to talk about, Kachim, Teres Kayanim, the Rambam says this point. It's in Perek Aleph Halacha Dalet. Binyan Shabana Shloimai, says the Rambam, Kfar Mefurish B'Malachim. The Binyan that Shloimai Melech built is discussed in Sefer Malachim. V'chein Binyan Ha'asid L'hibanez, Afa Pishu Kasa B'yecheskel, Eina Mefurish B'mavur. The third Beis HaMikdash, it's not so mefurish. Melachim is written mamish like an architect. Bayashlishi is enoi mefurish, it's enoi mevur. However, it's referenced. It's certainly discussed somewhat in Sefer Yecheskel. Anshi Bayasheni, the ones that built the second Beis HaMikdash, Kishubanu Bimei Ezra, Banu Kebinyan Shloimai, they built it like the Binyan of Shloimai Melech, Umei Ein Dvarim HaMefurashim Yecheskel. It was a hybrid. It had a little bit of Bayashrishin, it had a little bit of Bayasheni. When we mentioned our introduction to Bayasheni in the Raid Bite at the end of Dav Ches Amadeis, we mentioned that the Taisus Yontif, in his Akdamas to Masechtas Midah, he says that the significance of Bayis Sheni not being like Bayis Rishi, not being by Bayis Shleishi, is really indicative of its quasi levels of Kedusha, Ray, that we've talked about a little bit over the years. But the point is that all the Batei Mikdashim were different. Now, when you think of the Mishkan, that's the bias that we're all the most familiar with. We learned it in Yeshiva, Chumash Rashi, Truma, Tetzava, Kisisa, Vayakta, Pekudei. It was a relatively simple structure. It was a head, it was a tent, it was something that was very easy to put up and then to take down and to travel with. That was the nature of the Mishkan. You had an oil mayed, and within the oil mayed there was a pareiches, that was just a curtain that separated the Kodesh from the Kodesh HaKadoshim. And then there was a chatzir, so there were beams. It was certainly a deal, and there were wagons that carried them. But it was a relatively simple structure. The Beis HaMikdash was a lot more complicated. And there were rooms, and there were chambers, and there were different gates, and there was a lot going on. It was on the Harabayas, and within the Harabayas, there was a compound. There was a lot of things with areas that had different levels of Kedusha that were all going on in the Beis HaMikdash. But there were many lishkois, many chambers, many rooms that were inside the Beis HaMikdash. And naturally, each one of these lishkois served a different function. They weren't just there so that there could be many rooms. Each one had a very specific tafkid. Each one had a very specific function. Now, the sugyas that we learn in Masechtas Yuma, Tamid, Midos, they deal primarily with Bayis Sheni. So this daf that we're about to learn, which is going to discuss some of the chambers, some of the lishkois in the Beis HaMikdash, are going to be dealing with some of the lishkois that existed in the tkufa of Bayis Sheni. So with that introduction, Zok Dehelegi Gemara, Tanan Hasam, we learned in a Mishnah over there. Where's there? Tamid, Amad Lahem HaMemuna, Dimamuna. So the Mamuna, Rashi says, was the Skan Kohen Gadol. Not everybody agrees with Rashi, but Shitas Rashi is that the Mamuna was the Skan Kohen Gadol. So usually when you think of the Skan Kohen Gadol, he didn't really have that much of a job, more so than any Kohen Edyet. Stating that, if something would happen to the Kohen Gadol, he becomes the most powerful person in the Beis HaMikdash. But if nothing happens to the Kohen Gadol, then he's just a backup for life. But there were some jobs that the Skan Kohen Gadol apparently had. One of them was, he was the Mamuna. He was in charge to make sure that all the Kehanim were doing what they were supposed to do. So this Mishnah is a Masechtas Tamid. It's picking up the Avoda that took place Tamid every single day in the Beis HaMikdash. And the Mamuna says as follows, it's time to bring the Karbon Tamid. It's time to bring the Tamid Shal Shachar. Now the Karbon Tamid was a Shepsala. It was a sheep. Where were the sheep kept? In the Lishkas Hatloim. In the Lishka of the sheep. Says the Mishnah, where was the Lishkas Hatlam? Valoi Lishkas Hatlam hoisa b'mikzaya Tzfoynes Maravis. The Lishkas Hatlam was in the Tzfoynes Maravis corner. The Arba Lishkas Hayosham. And there were four Lishkas there. Now, to be clear, where is there? There were way more than four Lishkas in the Beis HaMikdash. There doesn't mean the Beis HaMikdash. It doesn't mean the Harabais. It's referring to a specific location within the Harabais. It's referring to what was known as the Beis HaMoiket. Now, Rashi here describes the Beis HaMoiket a little bit. We'll just read Rashi. Traklin Gadol. It was a Traklin Gadol. It was a big ballroom. Vayamasikim by Madurais Gedolos. And there were big Madurais there. There were fires there. Lehischamim Shama Kehanim. So that Kehanim would have a place to be able to heat up. Shahochin Yechefin al Ritzbas Azar Shishal Shayas. Because the Kehanim weren't allowed to wear shoes. Shal Na Lecho Mi Al Raglecho. Because the place that you're standing on is Admas Kodesh. So Kehanim weren't allowed to wear shoes wearing the Beis HaMikdash. And because they weren't allowed to wear shoes, they were Hochin Yechefim. They were always walking barefoot in the Azara. The floor in the Azara was made of Shayish, was made of marble. As a result, it would sometimes get cold. Because it was cold, they needed a place to warm up. So they would go to the Beis HaMoiked. There were many Medurais there. Moiked is a fire. And that's where they would warm up. Okay, so we're describing the Beis HaMoiked. That's this room where the Kehanim would spend some time. And there were four lishkas inside this room. Okay, what were the four lishkas? One was lishkas atlon, v'achas lishkas achisomois, v'achas lishkas beis hamoiked, v'achas lishkas she'osim bo lechem aponim. Regardless, so this is the Mishnah Masechtas Talmid. What we need from the Mishnah Masechtas Talmid is one thing, and that is the lishkas atlon, as we mentioned in the introduction, that's the topic of the daf primarily, and the lishkas atlon was where? It was one of the four lishkas that were off of the beis hamoiked. Where was it specifically? It was b'miktzaya tzfoynes maravis. It was in the northwestern corner. Freit the Gemara, is that true? Verminu? I'll ask you a kasha from another Mishnah. A Mishnah Masechtas Midas. So the first Mishnah was a Masechtas Talmud. This next Mishnah is a Masechtas Midas. Arba lishkas hayu lebeis hamoiked. There were four lishkas in the Beis HaMoiked. We're describing the same exact Beis HaMoiked. Kiki toinios apsuchas letraklin. And these four lishkas were all like rooms that open up into a traklin. They open up into this ballroom, this very, very large area. Shtayim b'kodesh v'shtayim b'chol. Now this Mishnah is a little more descriptive than the previous Mishnah was. This Mishnah says that of these four lishkas, two of them were considered b'makom kodesh, and two of them were considered b'makom chol. So we're going to see later in the daf that depending on where you are in the Har HaBayis, that determined the level of kedusha of that area. The Beis HaMoiked itself was built half b'kodesh, and it was built half b'chol. So as it relates to these four chambers, Chetzium, two of them were Bakoidish, and Chetzium, two of them were Bachal. Okay, but Rosh Pispasim Avdilim and Kodesh Chol, and there was a Mechitza that separated the part that was Kodesh and the part that was Chol. Mahi Meshamesh, Meshamesh, what was the purpose of these four Lishkas? Maravis, Deroimis, He Hoysel, Lishkas, Toya, Karbet. The one that was a Maravis, Deroimis, southwest, that was the one that was the Lishkas Atlan. That's what they used to keep the sheep that were used for the Karbet Tomet. Deroimis, Mizrachis, He Lishkas, Shayo, Isim, Balechem upon him. That's what they used to make the Lechem upon him. Mizrachis, Sephonis, there was a chamber where they used to keep the old Mizbeach that was defiled by the Yevonim in the times of the Hanukkah story. They were Makav Avodah Zarah on it. And as a Zecher, the Yidden kept the wood and the stone of that Mizbeach. Tzfoynis Maravis, Bayardin Lebeis HaTfilah. Tzfoynis Maravis, that was a chamber that really served as a gateway. It was a way that you can go to the mikveh through there. The bottom line is, the Gemara is going to focus on one kasha. There's a lot to talk about between these two Mishnayas. But Asher Nogeil in Yonenu, and we'll try to stay focused, is one stira. The Mishnah Masechtas Talmud said that where was the Lishkas Atloim? V'haloi, Lishkas Atloim, Hoysa v'miktsoya, Tzfoynis Maravis. Behold, it's in the corner of Tzfoynis Maravis. It's northwest. And here we have a Mishnah Masechtas Midos that says, Maravis deroimis, he hoysa Lishkas tle carbon. It was southwest. So was it northwest, Tzfoynis Maravis? Or was it southwest? Was it Maravis deroimis? We have a blatant stira in terms of the exact location of the Lishkas Atloim between these two Mishnahs. So there's no stira what the Lishkas Atloim served. There's no stira. Everyone agrees that it was one of the four Lishkas of the Beis HaMoiked. Everyone agrees it was on the western side of the Beis HaMoiked. The question is, northwest or southwest? That's a stira. Zokti Gemara, Am Rafuna. Rafuna said, Sinit Kain Kashi. You know why? Man Tana Midas, Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov. You want to know who the Tana Masechtas Midas is? It's Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov. Meaning the Tana Masechtas Talmud is a Stam Mishnah. But the Tana Masechtas Midas, even though it's written like a Stam Mishnah, it's really not a Stam Mishnah. It's really the opinion of one Tana. It's the Tana Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov. Now, this is just worth mentioning for a second. We know Mishnah's Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov is Kavanaki. We always paskin like Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov and Mishnayis. In fact, amongst all the Tanaim that had a koyach to get it right when it came to Psak Halacha, Beis Hillel over Beis Shammai, Halacha Rabbi Akiva Mechaveroi, maybe Chaverov, Halacha Kerebi Mechaveroi, maybe Chaverov, Rabbi Yossi Nimukoimoi, Mishnas Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov, kavanaki. So we don't think so much in terms of Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov as being the Mara, the Kula Shmaitza. But in Halacha, there's almost no one who we paskin like as we do Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov. So this is a whole Masechta, Man Tana Midos. You want to know the Tana Masechta Smidus is? Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov, which tells us one thing. We paskin like Masechta Smidus, Lachura. But either way, says the Gemara, Man Tana Masechta Smidus, Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov, and that's why we're discussing the Sugya, like we mentioned in the introduction. The Gemara on Daf Yudal Amud Beis, which was the beginning of the previous Sugya, had a steer between similar signum. Machloikis between these two Mishnayos, Tamid and Midos, Man Tana Midos, it's Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov. Now, the Gemara from here until the end of the Daf is going to do one thing. It's going to prove, it's going to bring backup, it's going to bring support to this thesis that Man Tana Midos, Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov. Zok the Gemara, the Tanan, how do we know? Omrav. How do we know that the Tana of the Mishnah Masechtas Midos Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov? So we can prove it from a Mishnah Masechtas Midos. So these are all Mishnayos and Masechtas Midos that we're proud to bring. Ezra Snoshim Hoysa, Oirach Meu Shloshim V'Chamish, Al Roichav Meu Shloshim V'Chamish. So there was one portion of the Harabais, we'll talk a little more about this in a minute, that was called the Ezra Snoshim. Now the dimensions of the Ezra Snoshim was 135 Amis long, and it was 135 Amis wide. The Arba Lishkeis Hoyu B'dal Mikzu, the four corners of the Lishkeis, of the Ezra Snoshim, there were four lishkos. What was the purpose of these four lishkos? Dreimus Mizrachas, he hoist the lishkos Hanazirim. So Dreimus Mizrachas, that was the lishkos Hanazirim. So these four lishkos should not be confused with the previous four lishkos. The previous four lishkos were the lishkos Beis Hamoikid. These four lishkos, we're discussing the four lishkos that were in the Ezra Snoshim. So the first was the lishkos Hanazirim. What happened over there? Shom Nazirim, that's where the Nazirim did their thing. They used to cook their carbon shlomim like the Torah says they have to do. Umgalchen Sirim, they would shave their head like the Torah says they have to do, umeshalchem tachas adut, and they would take the hair that they had taken off their head, put it underneath the dut, underneath the pot where their shlomim was cooking. All mentioned in the Torah in Parshas Nosim. Mizrachas Sefonis. What was the purpose of Mizrachas Sefonis? He hoist the Lishkas Ha'etzim of Masechta Shkolim Fein. That was the Lishkas Ha'etzim. Shesham Kehanim Bali Mumen Oim Dematliim Be'etzim. That's where the Kehanim that were Bali Mumen, they couldn't do real Avodah, so they would spend their time in the Lishkas Ha'etzim, and they would look and inspect the wood to make sure there was nothing wrong with the wood, that the wood was roy to be put on the mizbech. Because any wood that has a quote unquote toilas, has a mum, the halach is wasn't allowed to be put on the mizbech. We know, according to one man, the Amar, the Aroin was buried in the Lishkas Ha'etzim. Tzvoinis Maravis, the Tzvoinis Maravis, he hoiso Lishkas HaMitzayra'im. That was with the Mitzayra'im. Did their thing. The Mitzayra had to be Lefnei Hashem when he went through his Taira. So he would stand in the Lishkas HaMitzayra'im. That's where he made all his Achunas. Maravis Deroimis. What about the fourth one? What was in Maravis Deroimis? Omer Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov. So this is a Mishnah Masechtas Midas. Said Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov in the first person, Shachachti Mahoisa Mishameshas. I can't remember. I remember those three, but I can't remember. Abishol said, no, I'll tell you what was there. They used to keep Yayin the Shemin over there. And it was known as Lishkas Beis Shmonai. But what do you see from here? One thing. That who's the Tana Masechtas Midas? It's Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov. Because we're learning a Mishnah Masechtas Midas, and the Tana and the Mishnah didn't know something. And Amar Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov, Shachachti, in the first person. It's as if Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov is writing Masechtas Midas. He's the one that's talking in Masechtas Midas, and he got to a point where he wasn't 100% sure what the halach is, so he said, Shachachti ma'oisa mishameshes. But the point is, says the Gemara, this was Rav Huna's raya, that the Tana of the Mishnah is Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov, and that's the stira to the two Mishnayos, Tamid, Midas, where exactly the Lishkas Atlam was. Was it northwest or was it southwest? You're right, it's clearly a contradiction. Oh, but the Teretz is, Tamid is just a regular Stam Mishnah. Midos is not a Stam Mishnah. Midos is really the opinion of Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov. Zok de Gemara. Hachi nami mistabra the Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov. I'll bring you another raya that the Tana of Masechtas Midas is Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov. But before this next raya, we need another little bit of an introduction, because this raya is going to take us all the way until the end of the daf. It's going to be a little bit of math, not that intimidating, but the Gemara requires a little bit of an introduction. And that is that we know that when the Yidden were in the Midbar, the area that the Yidden were encamped was made up of three machanos. There was Machne Yisrael, there was Machne Leviyah, and there was Machne Shri. Kinegdon Ledoiros. corresponding to those three machnas that the Yidden had in the Midbar, for all future generations, the machna where the Yidden live would be made up of three machnas. There would be machna Yisrael, there would be machna Levi, and there'd be machna Shechina. Now these machnas are not just symbolic, they're very significant in halacha. Where? In Hilchas Tumah V'Taira. Because a Tumah is not allowed to be a Machna Shechina. There are certain Tumahim that can't even be a Machna Leviya. And then there are other Tumahim, like a Metzaira, that can't even be a Machna Yisrael. And the Rambam lays this out, Kedarkei Bakodesh, in Hilchas Beis Abchira, it's Perek Zayin Halacha Yod Aleph. Sholich Machnas Hoy Yisrael Bamidbar. The Yidden had three Machnas when they were in the Midbar. Machna Yisrael, Vehi Arba Machnois, that's the four Machnois for all the flags were, the golem, that's where the Yidden were encamped. Umachna Leviya, Shenema Babasavav Lemishkan Yachnu, Umachna Shechina, Vihimi Pesach, Chotzer, Oyo, Moi, Veliftim. Ukenegdon Ledoira, says the Rambam. The same would repeat itself for all future generations. Mi Pesach Yerushalayim, Adharabayis, Kamachna Yisrael. Machna Yisrael begins from Yerushalayim. So if you live outside of Yerushalayim, you're not a Machna Yisrael either. You're on the outside looking in. As it relates to the Machnas, you might as well be in Chutz Laretz. Meaning you're not in Machna Yisrael. Umi Pesach HaRabayis at Pesach Azor, from the entrance way of the HaRabayis until the Azor, Shehu Shar Nichnar, at the Rambam defines as Shar Nichnar, that was Kemachna Leviyah, that had a din of Machna Leviyah. Umi Pesach Azor V'lefnin, and if somebody entered the Azor, he went through the Shar Nichnar, towards the Heichal, towards the Ulam, towards the Kodesh HaKadosh, and that whole area was Machne Shechina. V'achel, v'ezras noshim, ma'ili yeseira bebeis olam. And then the Rambam cryptically says that the Chel and the ezras noshim, these were two areas within the Harabayis, they had a ma'ili yeseira in the Beis HaMikdash. So there were three Machnes. Yerushalayim was Machne Yisrael. Once you got to the Harabayis, up until the Azara, as defined by the Rambam as being Shar Niknar, that's the eastern gate that enters the Azara, that was Machna Leviya, and then if you're on the other side of the Azara, you were already in Machna Shechin. So that's understanding the Machnas from a 20,000 foot view, from a super high level. But now we have to drill down a little bit. We have to understand a little more on a micro level, and that is, so somebody came to the Harabayis. Within the Harabayis, there were many proverbial lines in the sand that were drawn, meaning the whole Harabayis was not created equally in terms of Kedusha. And in terms of Atkan, you're allowed to walk, and maybe you're allowed to walk a little bit further. The Rambam described Machna Leviya and Machna Shechina. From the Harabayis until the Azara, that's all Machna Leviya. From the Azara and beyond, that's Machna Shechina. But really, the area from the Harabayis up until the Azara was made up of several areas. And this is what we need, Asher Negei L'Inyanenu. So somebody arrived at the Harabayis. You're walking without getting involved in the Shetach and exactly how far you're walking. You get to a Soireg. A Soireg was a very, very small fence. In fact, it's something that you can probably jump over. It didn't have any aesthetic significance. It didn't have any shtolz. But at the same time, it was very, very symbolic. And the reason it was symbolic is because an Eini Yehudi wasn't allowed to walk past the Soireg. When the Yevonim came, Ufartzu Choymois Migdalai, the Iker Choyma that they made Pirtzis on was the Soireg. Now, if you walked to the Harabayis and Rachmana Litzlan, they were coming to cause problems. There were big walls and towers. So it's a Chketin Lebedek. You know what was going on? There was this massive, impressive structure. What did they chap it with? The Soireg. The Soireg? Why did they care about the Soireg? Oh, they cared about it because the Jews claimed that they can't walk past there and there's something that bothered them. So they wait. Yud Gimel Pirtzis Chazal said 13, which is a very symbolic number in Judaism. And they went and they made 13 Pirtzis because they were focusing not so much on causing damage as it was terror. They were trying to make a point that this Havdalah, Bein Yisrael Amim, this is something that we're going to chapter with. So you're walking on the Harabayis and you encounter upon the Soireg. On the other side of the Soireg, that next area was known as the Chel. So the Chel was a Makkoim on the Harabayis, still part of Machna Leviya. A Tomei is allowed to be there, but at the same time, a Tomei that's allowed to be in Machna Leviya, that is allowed to be there. But the Eini Yehudim, they weren't allowed to be there. You continue walking, and there was a wall. This wall had a gate. Very impressive gate. We're going to see all the gates and all the sha'arim were very, very big. So this is already a lot more impressive. Not like the Soireg, which is a little fence. This is already a very big deal. And on the other side of that wall was the Ezras Noshim. Now the Ezras Noshim has the word Azara in it. So it's a little bit misleading. But the truth is it was not the Azara. The Azara is what we would know as the Ezras Yisrael, the Ezras Kayanim. This was the Ezras Noshim. Kishmoy Kachi. But the Ezra's Noshim was part of Machta Leviyah, and the Ezra's Noshim had a din of Harabais. It didn't have a din of the Azara. So someone that's not allowed to be in the Azara is allowed to be in Ezra's Noshim. Kachi Kadoshim had to be eaten in the Azara. You can't eat it in the Ezra's Noshim. So don't let the word Azara fool you. It's Ezra's Noshim, but really it had a din of Machta Leviyah, and it had a din of Harabais as it relates to all the halachas. You continued walking in Ezra's Noshim, and then you came upon another gate. This was a massive gate. This was the Shar Nikner, because when you entered the Harabais, right, you're always going east to west. So you're going this, but you encounter on the eastern gate. And when you come to the eastern gate, that's already the Shar Nikner. That was the main gate that everybody walked through. There were gates on all the sides, but this was the main gate that you walked through. On the other side of that gate, on the other side of that wall, was the Azara. Oh, the Azara, that's already Machne Shechina. The Azara, that's where if someone's Tomei and he goes there, he's Chayiv Karis, that's where you're allowed to eat Kachi Kadoshim, that's where you're allowed to Shech Kachim, that's where all the halachas are going to play out. So it's true, the Rambam says there's three Machnas. There was Machne Yisrael, which went from Yerushalayim up until the Harabayas, and then you had Machne Leviyah, which is from the Harabayas up until the gates of the Azara, going east to west, which is the way people usually walked, it would be from Shar Nikner. And then on the other side, it's Machne Shechina. But really, if you break down the Harabayas further, so you have these important parts. You have from the Harabayas up until the Soireg. The other side of the Soireg is the Chel. That went until the wall. The other side of that wall was the Ezra's Noshim. The Ezra's Noshim took you to the Shar Nikner, which was Machane Yisrael. So the Gemara now is going to go into some of the technicalities. We're not going to need so much of what the Gemara is going to say. So we'll just pluck out from this Gemara, that's the Geya Pashit, the Havana of today's daf. But the Gemara is going to go into some of the technicalities of understanding these different locations on the Harabais. One other piece of introduction that's worth it, just to make the daf go a little more geschmiert, and that is that the Parah Adumah, which is featured disproportionately in the beginning of Masechtas Yuma, right? The first sugi of the Masechta dealt with the correlation between the 7 days that the Kohen Gadol was taken away before Yom Kippur and the 7 days of the Kohen Asayrif Esapar. Clearly there's a connection, and on a deeper level there certainly is. We're going to get to that. But the point is, a different day, but the Parah Adumah wasn't brought in the Beis HaMikdash. It's Pesukim in the Torah. It was brought on Har HaMishkan. It was brought on Har HaZeisim. Stating that, the halacha was that the Kohen that was doing the Avodah with the Parah Adumah, as is outlined in the beginning of Parshas Chukas, he had to be facing Noichach Pnei Yol Yomayit, and he had to be able to see in through the Pesach of the Yom Kippur. He had to see into the Heichal. That was important. He had to be able to see into the Heichal. With that introduction, Zokta Gemar. I bring you a raya. That the Tanya, the Mishnah, Masechtas Midas, Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. The Tanya we learned in the Mishnah, and this too is a Mishnah, Masechtas Midas. Kol Aksolim Shayu Sham Hayu Gevayim. All the walls that surrounded the Beis Hamikdash. So the Harabais is this compound, these walls that are surrounding this whole area. Right, you can't just walk in. There were walls that were surrounding the whole Makom Hamikdash. They were all very tall. Rashi says Gevayim Ma'od. Chutz Mi Koisel Mizrachi, with the exception of the Koisel Mizrachi, not the Koisel HaMaravi, but this is the literal opposite Koisel. The Koisel HaMizrachi. And the reason it couldn't be so tall is because the Kohen HaSoref HaSapara, he would stand on Har HaZeisin, and he would have to be able to look into the Heichel when he was doing his Avodas. At the time he did the Hazah with the Parah Adumah. And the only way for him to be able to see into the Heichel, this is the punchline, is if he's able to peer over the wall. So you have these walls. He's on a mountain, so he's able to see, but he has to be able to look over the wall. If the wall would be too high, he wouldn't be able to see over the wall. So the only way for him to do it would be is if he's able to see over the wall. The Gemara is going to say, this Mishnah could only make sense according to Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. What part of the Mishnah? The part of the Mishnah that says that the only way the Kohen HaSoref HaSapara would have been able to see into the Heichal when he was on Har HaZeisim would be if the walls weren't so tall, so he could see over the walls, because if the walls were tall, there would be no way for him to see it. That's only true according to Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, because the Gemara is about to prove that there's a machlokes with Elazar ben Yaakov and the Chachamim as it relates to some of the technicalities in the Beis HaMikdash. And if you hold like the Chachamim in that machlokes, not Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, you shouldn't have needed short walls. You could have had very big walls. Okay, let's say there were big walls. How would the Kohen see? The way the Kohen would be able to see is through the Pesach, because there's a huge entrance. So why does he have to see over the wall? There's a door. Open up the door of the gates, and you should be able to see through the gate. So if he needed to see over, that means he couldn't see through the gate. Why not? So the Gemara says, that only works according to Rav Elazar ben Yaakov. What's the rest of the story? What's the cheshbon? That's the daf. Because we learned in the Mishnah, psachim shayisham goyven esrim amav v'reichman esrim amas. All the psachim. So the Pesach of the Harabayis, they were all 20 amas tall and they were 10 amas wide. V'tanan, we learned in the Mishnah, lefnim mimenu soyrek. So if somebody came into the Harabayis, we just went through this. So you walked onto the Harabayis. You entered the Harabayis through a gate. How big was the gate? The entrance of the gate, it was 20 amos tall, that's the magic number, and it was 10 amos wide. Okay, you're walking and you encounter the soirig. On the other side of the soirig was the chel. We just spoke about that. Now the chel was 10 amos, it was 10 amos. There were 12 steps that were there. Each step was a half an amah, and it was a half an amah deep. What we need from this is just one thing. We don't need the chel, we don't need the soirig. What we need is as the height of each amah was... The height of each step was a half an amah, and how many steps were there? 12. Which means that when you're now past the chel, you're elevated from where you walked in, 6 amas. That's what we learned in the Mishnah. Tezva milas oilas mitoicha hayor this message shol ezras nashim. So what was on the other side of the chel? You were in the Ezras Noshim. The Ezras Noshim had 15 steps, 15 Shir Hamalas. So there were 15 Milos that were there. Rum Mila Chatziyama. Again, each step was a half a mile. Amma, Vishulcha Chatziyama. And it was a half a Amma. Okay. So now you just walked up another 15 steps. Each step is a half a Amma. 15 times a half is 7.5. So you had the 6 steps that were in the Chel. The 6 amos of the elevation of the chel, the 7.5 amos of the elevation of the Ezras Noshim, how elevated are you from when you walked through the gate of the Harabayas? 13.5 amos. The area between the Ulam and the Mizbeach, as you're ready in Ezras Yisrael, was 22 amos. There were another 12 milas there. Room, milach atziyama. Each step again was a half amma. And its step was a half amma. So there were another 12 steps between the Ulam and the Mizbeach in that area. Each one was again a half amma, which means it's another 6. So it's 6 plus 7.5. That's 13.5 plus 6. That's 19.5. So right now, if you're standing by the Heichal, you're elevated 19.5 amas from when you walked in. So it's on an incline, 19.5 amas. Okay, v'tanan, and we learned in a Mishnah, Rebbe Eliezer ben Yaakov Omer. Rebbe Eliezer ben Yaakov said, Maila hoysa sham. There was another maila, another step. Ugevoya amo. And it was an amah tall. V'ducha nosin oleh. And there was a platform, there was a pedestal on it. Ubas sholish maila shal chatzi chatzi amah. And there were another 3 steps there, but we don't need those other 3 steps. Ayin Rashi and Rishonim. We're going to focus on that 1 extra amah. That's all we need. So Rebbe Eliezer ben Yaakov said, there was another amma. So you had the 6 of the chel, and then you had the 7.5 of the Ezras Noshim, and then you had another 6 bein ulam lemizbech, which gets you to 19.5. Rebbe Eliezer ben Yaakov said there was one more mila. That mila wasn't a half a amma like all the ones that we mentioned up until now. This one was actually a full amma. So the Gemara says like this: according to Rebbe Eliezer ben Yaakov, from when you enter the Harabayas until you come to the doorstep of the Heichal, how elevated are you? 20.5 amas. According to the Chachamim, it's 19.5 amas. Okti Gemara Gishmak. I'm a Bishleim of Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov. Bishleim of the time of the Mishnah's Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov. Hainu d'ichsalei pischa. So now you understand why you had to make sure that the Koyin HaSarif is a part that's on HaRazesin. When he's doing the Hazaz, and it has to be Noichach Oyol Moyed, which means he has to see into the Oyol Moyed. He can't see through the Pesach. What do you mean? Look through the big Shara Mizrahi. No, the problem, you're going to look through the Shara Mizrahi, you're going to see a step. That's what you're going to get to. You're not going to be able to see into the oil. You can't peer through that and see into the oil mayeh. The ichsi le'pischo. The Pesach is gaili. I'm a Rabbanon. But according to the Rabbanon, ikka pal gadam so. The mischazi le'pischo begaveh. It's only 19.5 amas. It's a half amah. So you're able to see through that. It's a foot. You can see. Why can't he look? Peek through. Why do you have to make the walls so small? Sounds like they wanted big, groyso walls. Narvaz, they had no choice. You do have a choice. You can see through it. Elolav shmamino. Rebbe Eliezer ben Yaakov. So if the Mishnah Masechtas Midah says that all that the kaisel of Mizrahi had to be a smaller kaisel, that's a riot. Rebbe Eliezer ben Yaakov. So Zokta Gemara that the teretz to the steer between the Mishnah and Talmud, the Mishnah Midas is that the Mishnah Midas is Rebbe Eliezer ben Yaakov. How do you know that? Because Rebbe Eliezer ben Yaakov talks in the first person in Masechtas Midas, so it certainly sounds like him. And the Gemara says if you're not convinced, Hachinami Mistabra, because there's a Mishnah Masechtas Midas that only makes sense according to Rebbe Eliezer ben Yaakov. According to the Chachamim, there's no way to learn it. Says the Gemara, is that true? Not so fast. Rav Adi Bar Abba. Amar Rav Adi Bar Abba said, I have another way. So I have another way to learn the Mishnah. The Oilam, maybe the Tana of the Mishnah in Masechtas Midas, not Rav Elazar ben Yaakov. And maybe the Tana of the Mishnah really holds that from walking into the Arabayas towards the Heichal, you're only 19 and a half amas elevated. Not 20 and a half, you're 19 and a half. You're asking your kashas, if that's the case, why'd they have to make the Kaisal HaMizrachi short? Why couldn't it be as gavay as all the other Kisalim? For the Kain HaSarif HaSapara, look through, you have the crack, and you'll be able to see that half amma. Says the Gemara, Hamani Rabbi Yehuda. Could be the Tanya of the Mishnah is Rabbi Yehuda. Who's Rabbi Yehuda? The Tanya we learned in a Brisa. And the Gemara now is going to take us to another machloikis. This is a machloikis, Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim, as it relates to the exact location of the Mizbeach. So believe it or not, there was a machloikis Tanoim where exactly the Mizbeach was. Now we know it was in the Azorah. We're talking about the Mizbeach HaChitzay, not the Mizbeach that was inside the Heichal. So, of course, high level, we know where it was. But the question is, specifically within the Azara, where was it? Says the Gemara. Said Rav Adi Bar Ahava, according to Rav Yehuda, who had a very distinct position in terms of the exact location of the Mizbeach, everything can work. The Tanya, what's the Shittas Rav Yehuda? Rav Yehuda, Imra, Mizbeach, Memutza. The Mizbeach was in the middle. It was literally in the midpoint. It was put very neatly inside the Azara. But Oymeid Be'emtsa Azara, it was in the middle of the Azara, Ushloishin V'shtayim Amos Hayulai, and it was 32 Amos long. That was the length of the Azara. Esa Amos Keneged Pischa Shel Hechel, meaning the Mizbeach itself was 32 Amos. So we're describing now the Mizbeach. It was literally Be'emtsa HaAzara, and it was 32 Amos. Eser Amos Keneged Pischa Shel Hechel. So if you take the 32 Amos of the Mizbeach and you put it exactly half in Sof and half in Darim, this is the way it's going to play out. It's going to play out, you have 10 Amos that are going to be facing the Pesach of the Hechel, because the width of the Pesach of the Hechel with 10 Amos, Yud Aleph Amos LeTzofen, 11 are going to be on the Tzofen side, Yud Aleph Amos LeDarim, 11 are going to be on the Darim side. Nimtza Mizbeach Mechuvin Keneged Hechel V'Kaisal. But here's the point. The Mizbeach was at the door of the Hechel. Zokta Gemara, Gevaldik. Maybe the time of the Mishnah Masechtas Midas is not Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. Maybe it's the Chachamim. And maybe it's true. You were only elevated 19 and a half amas. Not 20 and a half amas, but you were only elevated 19 and a half amas. What's the kash if it's 19 and a half amas? Why can't he look in? You know why he can't look in? Because he's going to see the Mizbeach. Because the Mizbeach was right in front of the Pesach and the Heichel. That's how they put the Mizbeach. They placed the Mizbeach, not the Kevesh, the actual Mizbeach, right in front of the Heichel. The 10 Amos were 10. It was 32 Amos in total. 11 on one side, 11 on the other side. That's why he couldn't see in. He couldn't see in because it's blocking. What's blocking? The Mizbeach is blocking. So Rav Adi Bar Ahava said, you're going to bring me a raya that the Tana, the Mishnah, Masechtas Midas is Rav Elazar, because otherwise look in. The reason you couldn't look in is because the Mizbeach. Meaning, you have no raya that the Mishnah is Rav Elazar ben Yaakov. Maybe it's the Chachamim Valim and the Rav Yehuda that holds that that's where the Mizbeach was. So the Gemara says like this, V'isol gadaitach midas Rabbi Yehudahi. So this line is like a Yerushalmi line. Right, usually V'isol gadaitach is like a connection. Vav is Moisef Alinyan Rishayim. Vav is Mechaber, the Parsha Rishayim. The Gemara is really asking a question. The Gemara exhaled for a second. And the Gemara is Rashi, Pirchahi de Kaparich Talmudo, the Rav Adad Ukmin Kreis. Freit the Gemara Akasha. Not V'isol gadaitach is a... Mara is asking a question that if you want to tell me that the time of Mishnah is really Rabbi Yehuda, Mizbeach, the Emtsa Azara, Mimish Kachasle, is it possible to say that? Meaning, you're telling me the time of Masechtas Midas holds like Rabbi Yehuda, that the Mizbeach was the Emtsa Azara. I have a Mishnah Masechtas Midas that proves that that's not the case. So, as the Gemara, how do I know the Vatanam? We learned to the Mishnah, Kol Azara, Hoysa, Oirich. Meya ushmoinav v'sheva al roichiv meya ushloishim v'chamesh. So the Azara was 187 amos long, and it was 135 amos wide. Min amizrach lemayrav, going from mizrach to mayrav, that's the length. Meya v'shmoinav v'sheva was 187 amos. Malkam Jesus Ragli Yisrael. The Gemara breaks down now the 187, the place where the Ragli Yisrael were, where all the Yidden were allowed to walk, was Yud Aleph Amma. Makom Drisus Ragli Kehanim, the place where only Kehanim were allowed to walk, was Yud Aleph Amma. Together, 11-11 is 22. Mizbeach, Shloshim Vishtayim. The Mizbeach was 32 Amas. 22 plus 32 is 54. Bein Ulam v'lem Mizbeach, Esrim v'shtayim. The area between the Ulam and the Mizbeach, again, you're still going east to west, is another 22. So it's 54 plus 22 is 76. Ha'heichal kufam. The Heichal itself was 100 amas. 76 plus 100, 176. V'yod alf, ha'chir beis ha'kapayrus. On the other side of the Kodesh HaKadoshim, when we say Heichal, it means the Kodesh HaKadoshim as well. On the other side, behind the Kodesh HaKadoshim, there were another 11 amas, which means that in total, it's 176 plus 11, 187. This is the breakdown of the 187 amas of the length of the Azara. So we're starting from the Azara. Kol Azara. Where does Azara start? Like we mentioned in the introduction to the second part of the Daf. Not Ezra's Noshim. It starts Ezra's Yisrael. Shar Nikner. So from Ezra's Yisrael, when you walk through Shar Nikner, until the area that's even behind the Kodesh HaKadoshim, in total, it's 187 Amos. The Gemara just gave us the breakdown. We need the next part of the Mishnah. Min Hadarim Letzafin, from south to north. So this is the width of the Azara. From Darim to Tzafin, Meya v'shloishim v'chamish. Not 187, it's a little narrower. It was a rectangle, not a square. It was 135 Amos. HaKevesh v'amizbeach. The Kevesh and the Mizbeach together, Shishim v'shtayim, was 62 Amos. Min HaMizbeach v'letabois. From the Mizbeach until the Tabois. So the Tabois were rings that were attached to the ground of the Azara, and the reason they were on the ground of the Azara was if you do shchit with an animal, you have to lock the animal down. So it was there to lock the animal. Now this was on the tzofin side, right? Kevesh, the entrance to the Kevesh, meaning the narrow part of the Kevesh where you can walk up, was on Darim. The length of the Mizbeach goes Darim to tzofin, which means these tabois are on the tzofin side of the Azara. And it makes sense that they would be on the tzafin side of the Azara. Why? Because Kachi Kadashim is Shchitasim in tzafin. The Shchit of the Kachi Kadashim had to be in tzafin. Now, Kachim Kalim were able to be even in Darim, B'chol Mokim Ba'azara. But being that Kachi Kadashim had to be in tzafin, if you're going to put rings, you might as well put it in a place where you can check any animal. It wouldn't make sense to put it in Darim. It'd make more sense to put it in tzafin. Fine. Anyways, so the Kevesh and the Mizbeach are together 62 Amos. Min HaMizbeach v'le Tabois, from the Mizbeach until the Tabois, that's another 8 Amos, which means 62 plus 8, that's 7. The area where the tabois were, that area took up 24 amas. 70 plus 24 is 94. From the tabois, from the tabois until the shulchanois, these shulchanois were the area that they used to wash the kravayim and the different emurim and the different parts of the basa that would go on the mizbeach. So that area itself was, from the tabois until the shulchanos, was arba, took up 4 amas. Min ha-shulchanos le-nanosim, from the shulchanos to the nanosim, so the nanosim, those were other things that were there to use, to be able to do hefshe, to be able to strip the skin off the animals. So that area was arba, another 4 amas. Min ha-nosim le-koisul azara, from the nanosim until the wall of the azara, this is on the darim side of the azara, was ches amas, was another 8 amas. So it's 62 plus 8 plus 24 plus 4 plus 4 plus 8. That's the math that the Gemara just did, which gives us a total of 110. Gives a total of 110. Now Rashi adds a little language here. Rashi helps us out. And Rashi says that really there's another 4 Amos that the Gemara didn't mention. And that is the Mokum of the Shulchanos itself. So the Gemara mentioned the area from the Tabois to the Shulchanos, and then from the Shulchanos to the Nanosim. The Shulchanos must have taken up space. So Rashi says it probably took up 4 Amos. So it's 110 really plus 4 so far in the Cheshbon, which gives us 114. Fine. Now, what's the total number? We said 135. We've accounted for 114. What are we missing? What's the delta? 21. So there's 21 unaccounted for Amos, as the Gemara, the Hamoiser, as it relates to the extra 21, Pein HaKevesh Ulekoisel Umakim Hananasim. Half of it, says Rashi, was Ben HaKevesh V'Lakoisel, on the Dorim side, and the other half was the Makam HaNanosim, which was also not accounted for. So this is a Mishnah, in Masechtas Midos, that's talking about the length and the width of the Azar. The length of the Azar was 187 Amos. We break it down from Shar Nikner all the way to the 11 Amos that are behind the Kodesh HaKadoshim. And then we go Darim to Tzafim. We go south to north with the 135 Amos of the width of the Azar. Now, as it relates to the width of the Azar, let's start from the Darim wall based on what we just said. Because we just need one prat of everything that we just said. Starting from the Darim wall, there's 10.5 Amos between the wall and the Kevesh. Because we said we had those 21 Amos that were left over, and we divided it into two. Ben HaKevesh V'Lekoisel, and then Makom HaNanosim. So we just need Ben HaKevesh V'Lekoisel. Very simple. So you're on the southern wall, there's 10.5 Amos between where you are standing until you get to the Kevesh. Then you have the Kevesh and the Mizbeach together, which are going to make up 62 Amos. Fine. So by the time you're on the other side of the Mizbeach, you're 72.5 Amos in. Right? You're 72.5 Amos in. Now, how wide was the Azara? It was 135 Amos wide. Half of it is on the Darim side, half of it is on the Tzafin side, which means 67.5 Amos are on Darim, and 67.5 Amos are in Tzafin. Of those 67.5 amas on Darim, if you had to break it down, the breakdown is 10.5 amas is the area between the Kaisel and the Kevesh, and the other 57 amas is the Kevesh and the Mizbeach. Now, the Kevesh and the Mizbeach in total were 62 amas. Of the 62 amas, 57 of those amas were on Darim, which means the Mizbeach was not mechuvin, literally in the middle of the Azara. In fact, 57 of the 62 Amis were in the Darim. So says the Tana, Mesech Tismidus. Zok the Gemara, V'isol G'daitach Midas Rabbi Yehudi. So if you're going to tell me the Tana, the Mishnah, Mesech Tismidus is Rabbi Yehudi, Mizbeach Be'emtza Azara, Mikom Mishkachasla? Is that true? The Mizbeach was Be'emtza Azara? That you want to tell me is the Pshat, why the Kohen Asar V'Sapar had to look over, not under, and that's why you had to make a short wall, because he would be blocked by the Mizbeach. How's he blocked by the Mizbeach? Haruba the Mizbeach, Bedarim Koi. Right, the Mizbeach was Bedarim. So obviously the Tana, the is not Rabbi Yehuda, Elav Shmamino, Rav Lezben Yaakovi Shmamino. Must be, you have to say, that the Tana, the Mishnah, Masech Tesmidus is Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov, and that's why they had to make sure that the Kaisel HaMizrachi, not to be confused with the Kaisel HaMaravi, but that's why the Kaisel HaMizrachi, right, the Kaisel HaMaravi is the Kaisel of the Harabayas. It's the Ma'ariv side of the Harabayas. This is literally the other side. So that's why the Kaisel HaMizrachi had to be short, because the only way the Kohen Aser V'Sapar would have been able to see into the Ohel Moed is if he was looking over. I let him look underneath. Isn't there a half a amma? Right, because you make the chesed, the elevation from when you walk into the Harabayas until you get to where you have to get is 19 and a half. Oh, it's Lezman Yaakov. Also, it was another step. It's his shita. It's his chiddush. It's chiddush. 20 and a half ammas. You're going to be blocked by the step. You're not going to be able to see. Maybe it was the Mizbeach. Maybe this has nothing to do with Rebbe Eliezer ben Yaakov. No. Can't be it was the Mizbeach. Why? Because that would mean that you hold the Mizbeach was smack in front of the Heichel, and it's not true. The Tana, the Mishnah, Masech Tesmidus, holds that it wasn't really smack in the middle of the Heichel. The truth is, in Pshat, Cheshbin, Midos, there's a big kasha that Rashi asks on the Gemara. You may have noticed a few long Rashis here on the Amid. We're going to do what we do, but just to really chazer. So why did we learn today's daf? I mean, today's daf was about the lishkas hatloim, a steer between a Mishnah Masech Tesmidus and a Mishnah Masech Tesmidus. It's because the signon of today's daf, Simdritten Mol, is the same as the previous daf. The previous daf, which was really a continuation of the daf before that, was a steer between a Mishnah in Yuma, a Mishnah in Tamid, and the Gemara answered the steer by saying, Man Tana say the Yuma, Reb Shimon Isha Mitzvah. That's the teretz to the steer. The Gemara just did the same thing. A steer between a Mishnah in Tamid and a Mishnah in Midas, and the Gemara said, Man Tana Midas, not Reb Shimon Isha Mitzvah, but Man Tana Midas, it's the Tana, Reb Eliezer ben Yaakov. Isn't that an interesting reason to just put a whole sugya as a grashi? We had to put the sugya somewhere, and this seemed to be the best place to put the sugya, and maybe this is a little bit of a marimah tucked away in Yuma Tezvava Mebeis and Yuma Daf Tezayin. This may be a very enlightening daf in terms of us understanding a little bit why the Gemara sometimes digresses the way it does.